Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and this is Carl from Deviant Legion and, of course, Incredibly Strange Films and Film and Stuff. And today we're going to be talking about the Oscar nominations and what we think of them and what we think of the Oscars and all that. So first off, I'd like to introduce one of my panel guests today, and that would be Adam Ferenz from Cathode Ray Mission. Say hello, Adam.
Hello.
Well, that was short and sweet. And, of course, we're very, very happy to have with us, back with us, one of my favorite people, film reviewer and the premier film reviewer of the Philippines, and that would be Noel Vera. Noel, really nice to have you back, man.
Hi. How are you doing, you guys?
Now, Carl, let's be honest. Your favorite part about Noel is his deep love of cats.
That too, and all the food that he eats too, of course. So Noel, one of the reasons I wanted to do this and have you on is I've read your Best of 2022, and you had some choice words for the Oscars. So why don't you just tell us, and don't mince words, what you think of the Oscars?
Well, which one? Anyway, the Oscars are a joke. They've always been a joke. They're a joke right now, and as far as I can see, they're going to stay a joke. Last time they got anything right was 1929, when Murnau Sunrise won for Best Artistic Achievement. It's been downhill ever since.
Wow.
I'll tell you how I really feel, but never mind.
No. I actually read that. I loved it. You thought the Oscar statue was just a gold-plated anal toy, which I think is a wonderful, wonderful description.
But
that being said, you know, now Adam, I think I'll ask you the same question. What do you think of the Oscars?
Well, you know, I don't hate them as much as Noel does. But I do have a love-hate relationship with them, particularly in recent years, much like with the Emmys. I sit there and shake my head at how predictable it all is, and I can't help but think of the dozens of films and performances out there that never even got a sniff at potentially being nominated. And as I told you earlier, Carl, you know, I learned a long time ago that all this is just for fun. And it means ultimately nothing other than, you know, maybe a little box office. You know, I'm sure it means something to the people who win. But for me as a viewer, looking at it just as a viewer, something winning Best Picture isn't going to make me suddenly think, oh my God, this is the best film of the year. You know, I'll give you my classic example. 1999, American Beauty wins Best Picture. The Best Picture of 1999 for me was Topsy Turvy. It wasn't even up for Best Picture. It may be Mike Lee's best work. It's probably my second or third favorite film of that decade. But that doesn't change anything. It's lack of Oscar love that I'm going to enjoy it. The Sopranos didn't win for its first season, which may still be its best season. And yet, what do we have? You know, The Wire never got nominated for Best Series. No. Homicide never got nominated for Best Series. And yet, those are two of the greatest series ever made. Awards are ultimately meaningless. They're a snapshot in time. They tell you what a select group of people fought at this moment in time. Nothing more, nothing less. You know,
I want to cut you off there and just say, as far as I'm concerned, particularly in the last 10, 15 years, I've lost interest. And I think part of that is because I think all this is promotion. It's just promotion, and it's all about the the campaigns before the Oscars. It's all about that. Look at me, look at me, look at me. And you're right in terms of, you know, it's all personal, okay? And I'll be asking each, as we go through each award category, what who missed out, and who, you know, what do you guys think? But to me, it's all about promotion, and I think it becomes so insular that there's no sense of really looking at what was out there, because there's a lot of people I think that were really, really missed in this particular.
Well, you know, that's podcast. Why I actually like lists, and I mean lists from film viewers and lovers like the three of us, because I find those much more useful. I like to see a list like Noel's list, or he's not on tonight, but Dan Kramer's list, where, you know, you'll look at this list of 20, 30, 40 films, and you're going to find a lot of movies that maybe you've never heard about, or maybe you did but you weren't sure about, and you look at what they say about it and you go, you know what, I think I will give that a try. And I find that much more instructive than, oh, look, Top Gun Maverick is up for Best Picture. Yeah, fuck that shit.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd rather see what other people are actually saying.
So since we're talking about,
you got to remember, if you don't mind, you got to remember that Louis B. Mayer started the Oscars
as a
kind of strike-breaking or union to discourage union development. The movie workers wanted to form all these unions. They had to stop that to satisfy them. He formed the Oscars, the Academy Award, and all that. And it's a freaking circle jerk. Everyone's like pulling at each other's putts. They're doing reach-arounds, man.
Yep.
Tell us what you really think, Noel.
Right. Right. There you go. I'm working on it.
Okay. So let's just start with Best Picture. Okay. I'm just going to list them. Then I'm going to see what you guys think. Then I'm going to ask you, you know, ask you your Best Picture that you think should be in there instead of something else. Okay. So we have All Quiet on the Western Front, Avatar, The Way of Water, The Banshees of Inisherin, Elvis, Everything Everywhere All at Once, The Fabelmans, Tar, Top Gun Maverick, Triangle of Sadness, and Women Talking. Yeah, exactly.
There's at least three there that have no business on the list, and one or two that, you know, okay, fine, which means that only five of the nominees are ones that I would,
what I just said, what five nominees would you say are worthy of nomination? Do you want me to go through the list?
The Banshees of Inisherin, Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Agreed.
The Fablemans.
Okay.
Actually, you know, I was going to say, yeah, The Fablemans, Tar, and Triangle of Sadness, and Women Talk. So I guess maybe six. And I'm actually kind of, sometimes I'm split on Fablemans. It's a film that I really like a lot of. I love moments in it. But while it is on my top 10, it's one that I could easily switch for something else and may, when I finally release my final top 50 of 2022, which I traditionally do on the day of the Oscars.
Okay, so
no,
so,
I give myself a long time to see a lot of movies.
So, out of all those films, are there any that you feel worthy of an award? I won't even say an Oscar.
Yeah, let's stick to the Oscars. I just love sticking it to you, Hope. Anyway, I'm looking at it, and like I have not seen Women Talking because it's ridiculously hard to see in my neck of the woods. Otherwise, everything else, I'd say three are worth looking at. Everything Everywhere, which, you know, I had problems with the ending. It's kind of too much uplift, but it's very ingenious. It's very inventive. Fablemans, but I prefer James Gray's Armageddon Time. And, okay. Oh, geez, that's it. Everything
that's
else,
not
is,
a terrible
I
fan,
like
huh?
Some of them. Yeah, yeah, that's it. I'm very proud to say that's it. And I'll just say if my choices and Oscar choice coincide, well, a stop clock is right twice a day.
Yes, that's true.
So there.
That's true. So for me, I've not seen all these films, but of the ones I've seen, the only ones I would put in the list is Banshees and Inisherin. Though I did not like the movie, I respect the movie a lot. Okay, Everything Everywhere All at Once, I would agree with. And the rest of them, no. I would say only those two. Now, one thing I will say, I've not seen All Quiet on the Western Front. I need to see that. And that is one I'd be very interested in seeing see how they do.
All Quiet is an interesting take on the book. They do change some things, but the changes mostly work, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, but it does make some improvements.
Yeah. Seriously, though, Avatar? Elvis, I watched 30 minutes of Elvis. I had whiplash.
Here's the thing about Elvis for me. I thought it was, you know, it was an okay movie, not a great movie. And I say okay in the lightest sense of the term, but I did think, shockingly, that Butler actually turned in a decent performance.
Okay.
I'm just surprised Baz Luhrmann turned in a decent movie.
Well, you know, let's put it this way.
It's watchable. It's the best thing he's ever done, but it's watchable.
Yeah, well,
kind
you know, but the thing is Tom Hanks totally fucking shit the bed in this one.
Oh, God. He's up for a Razzie.
He's
in
the Jared Leto school
of
acting.
Yeah, good God. Took me out of that movie completely.
Absolutely.
You know, the thing is, yeah, we know that Parker was, you know, Dutch, but he didn't go around, you know, talking like Otto Preminger, because this was not even a Dutch accent. This was like a fucking German accent. It was awful.
Oh, it was horrific.
And there is a difference, folks.
Yeah, there is. Okay, so if there were a movie that you saw this year that you would put in the best of, in the best picture category, what would it be, Adam?
Oh, I would absolutely put my top film of the year. I'd put The Whale. That's going to go first.
All right. How about you, Noel?
Oh, me? Oh,
yeah.
Love Thee is a tale of Filipino violence, and it's a historical film. It's in black and white. And if you think Avatar was a long movie or Elvis is a long movie, this clocks in at 6 hours, 50 minutes.
Is that another Love Diaz?
It's Love Diaz. And I have two of them in my top 10.
I thought that was the one. Yep.
So I actually have a question for you, Noel. Does the Filipino film industry have its own awards?
Oh, it's got more awards than the Oscars, and they're even less credible, most of them. Maybe one.
Oh, okay.
Or
never
two
mind.
Of them. Are not.
Never mind. All right.
Yeah.
And for me, I would have to go with my favorite movie of the year, which is Everything Everywhere All at Once, which I just absolutely adored, and I think it is a great film. So that's me.
Well, can I just say something about Everything Everywhere? What I love best about that movie?
Okay,
well,
go ahead.
Two things. Number one is it's so low tech that the spinning lights thing in some of the shots, that's just a wooden board with light bulbs spinning around. That's how they got that effect of spinning lights around Michelle Yeoh. Number two, how old school the Hong Kong fight choreography is. I love that. That's so cool. You know, it takes me all the
wonderful.
Way back to Jackie Chan. Absolutely.
Yeah, very much Jackie Chan. And mm-hmm. I really love that movie. That's my second favorite film of the year. Okay, we're going on to Best Actress now. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The first one makes me want to throw up. Anna de Armas, Blonde. Cate Blanchett, Tar. Andrea Riseborough, To Leslie. Michelle Williams, The Fabelmans. Michelle Yeoh, Everything Everywhere. Okay, since no one else is talking, I'll say this.
It's because I'm still pissed
Hold on. Blonde was a travesty of a film. And she was miscast. And it's an awful fucking film. And how that got a fucking nomination, I'll never know. Okay, that's all I'm going to say. Go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, no, it's a bad movie. I didn't think she was bad in it, but I thought that she was basically the only thing that was worth sitting through any five-minute section of the film, but it's not worth sitting through nearly 3 hours of it. The thing is I'm going to say this. I would have to say that I haven't seen Riseborough in To Leslie, but I can live with this list, except there should have been Detweiler from Till. Her performance is Mamie Till in Till. I saw that a few weeks ago, and I thought, you know, I may have just watched the Oscar winner. And then she doesn't get nominated. The fuck?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, she was seriously, up until the day of the Oscars, she was considered one of the probably two top contenders for the win, and then she doesn't get nominated. Well, you know, we were talking about it earlier. The campaign that's been going on for Riseborough is very telling. Now, I'm not saying that it's underhanded. That's not it, but it's very much that insider, insular thing where you have a bunch of people saying, hey, I love this, vote for this, vote for this, vote for that, and they're not even seeing it. They're just saying, oh, well, all my friends are talking about it, about we should do it, so we're going to do it. And, you know, out of maybe, say, every group of 100 people, one or two of them have actually seen the movie. But then you've got 98 or 99 people, you know, 98 or 99 lemmings following everyone else off the cliff. Although I guess from a couple of people that actually have seen the movie, they say that it's pretty good and that she is deserving of a nomination. But I can't believe that she is better than what Deb Weiler did in Till.
Okay, so question, out of those people that we mentioned, Adam, who would you vote for?
Oh, who would I vote for?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, that's going to have to be Michelle Yeoh. Thing is, I love Michelle Williams' career, but I didn't think that she was this wonderful thing in the film. I've liked her in several other movies a lot more.
Okay, so going over to Noel. Again, you got Anna de Armas, and Cate Blanchett, Andrea Riseborough, Michelle Williams, and Michelle Yeoh.
Yeah. Hey, this is a crazy thing. I love Blonde. I rated it even over Fablemans and Everything Everywhere. But this, in my defense, I'm going to say it's a terrible Marilyn Monroe movie. I mean, almost they get a lot. They didn't even bother to get right about her life. But
no.
I think it's a great horror film. If you're going to torture Hollywood star, this is the way to go about
it. It was way too fucking nasty.
Yeah.
But anyway,
yeah. My thing is maybe they weren't nasty enough. They should have, when you do a torture session, you have to rest. Then you continue on the victim afterwards to let them recover. You know, that's how you make it last longer, make it more effective. They weren't that effective. But as it gets my vote as best horror film of the year. Everything else, Cate Blanchett is, technically perfect. I love the way she uses her hands. That's how I imagine a conductor would use. You know, that initial opening interview, her hands were all over the place, flying around. I think that's a great technical performance. I got to give it to Michelle Yeoh because, you know, we finally get to see her in a Hollywood movie giving what she's been capable of all along.
I agree.
That's
I
my
agree.
Take.
And I yeah. have not seen Tar, but I really want to see Tar. And I will see Tar at one point or another. And I have a great love of classic. So I'm sure I'll be open to that film.
If I may put in, my problem with Tar is, I don't know if I can give out spoilers. Not spoiler. It's just that, you know, there's something that involves the Philippines, and I don't like what it has to say about the Philippines.
Oh, I know what that is,
just
by the way. That she thinks that the Philippines are her version of hell. I've read that. So
Okay.
You know, the way I read that is I was like, oh, damn, just another layer of asshole to this lady because, you know, of course this Eurocentric cretin is going to see any Asian country as her version of hell. You know,
right.
Anywhere but Europe, anywhere but Germany or Austria or maybe Paris or, you know, and for her, I would actually say Paris, not even France, specifically one city. She's a very strange character, and it's a movie that's got a very, very unusual structure. And I know that it's bothered a lot of people. It's on my top 10, but, you know, we'll talk about that when we get to that part of the show.
Okay. So now we're at Best Actor, and I'm going to start first with my opinion. Okay. Austin Butler, Elvis. Colin Farrell, The Banshees of Inisherin. Brendan Fraser, The Whale. Paul Mescal, After Sun. And Bill Nighy, Living. Now, I have not seen this movie. I don't have to see this movie. I am rooting for Bill Nighy. I think the man is a fucking god. And at 73, I think he deserves some recognition. He's not going to get it. I think the person that will win is Colin Farrell. And I think he will beat out Brendan Fraser. And that's my take on it. But with the exception of Colin Farrell, I did see Banshees of Inisherin. I've not seen the other films, but I'm rooting for Nighy because anyone who has the balls to remake what's the name of the film now that it's based on?
Akira.
Yeah,
Akira
Kurosawa. Anyone who has the balls to do that is pretty cool in my book. So that's what I think. We'll go with you, Noel. What do you think?
I haven't seen at least two of the five. I've seen Elvis, Colin Farrell, and After Sun. I'd say Paul Mescal is the best I saw that from those three. Austin Butler.
You know,
like
I've not seen After
exactly
Sun, but I've heard real good things about it.
I feel like it's like stunt acting is what I feel.
Okay.
Austin Butler and Elvis.
Yeah, I agree. It was like Rami Malek in the film that he did.
Oh, there
that
you
he
go.
Won. Yeah.
Only more flop sweat.
Okay. And knowing that The Whale is your favorite film, I'm saying you're rooting for Brendan.
Well, I am. He's the one I want to win. But the thing is, it wouldn't surprise me to see any of them win. I actually think this is a pretty wide-open race. I think it's more wide-open than people think it is. But I'm going to tell you, I do think that Colin Farrell probably will win. I will also say that I saw After Sun. And maybe it was my mood at the time, but I didn't hate the movie. I just, it kind of left me a little cold. So, you know, it's hard for me to judge that performance given the mood the film put me in. As for Living and Bill Nighy, it's finally hitting my area tomorrow. I don't know if I'm going to get to see it this week. I'm going to see if I can get in touch with the theater tomorrow that's getting it and see if they know if it's going to play through next weekend. Because if it is, I have every intention of going down there and seeing it next weekend because, damn, I'm not missing this.
Okay. So we're on to Best Supporting Actress now. And we have Angela Bassett, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, Hong Chau, The Whale, Carrie Condon, The Banshees of Inisherin, Jamie Lee Curtis, Everything Everywhere All at Once, and Stephanie Hsu, Everything Everywhere. So I'm really sort of – this. I think this is relatively wide open. Everyone's leaning toward Angela Bassett, and I can understand that. I did not like Black Panther, but I thought she was very good. But really, my heart goes out with Jamie Lee Curtis just because it's Jamie Lee Curtis. And that's nothing – that's not a knock against Stephanie Hsu, who I thought really did a great job in that film.
She also has a great character name in that.
Yes.
I'll remember.
Deirdre Bobeardra.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I'm rooting for Jamie Lee. What about you, Adam?
You know, the thing is, I would love to see Jamie Lee. I would love to see any of these women win. I think, you know, they're all fantastic. I've seen four of the five films. I haven't seen Black Panther yet. But if you're going to ask me who I want to win, you know, I probably would say it's really a tie between Carrie Condon and Jamie Lee Curtis as far as who I want to win, as far as who I think's going to win. You know, I'm not sure I buy the Angela Bassett narrative. I think it's going to be Condon or Curtis or maybe Sue.
I tell you what, I forgot to mention
don't, but,
this.
But the thing is I really do think that Condon, you know, she's not to be sneezed at in the band.
Oh, no,
not
at all.
Really
I was just about to say that she was extremely good in Banshees. She really was.
And the fact that she held her own against those guys, oh, my God.
Oh yeah. She did more than held her own. How about you, Noel? What do you think of this group?
Well, you know, I'm thinking the one that cries out is the one that's not there. Dolly de Leon in Triangle of Sadness, you know, the whole movie, I could have done without that first part. It doesn't add anything as far as I'm concerned. The second part with the vomiting was done better by Monty Python. And the third part is what made the movie. It's the Admirable Crichton done on screen, and she was the upending servant, and she was great.
Oh, okay.
She's not here, and I'm not surprised. Otherwise, who's here?
Yeah.
Well, I liked Carrie Condon. Yes, she was very strong. She and Brendan Gleeson probably gave him the strongest performance as far as I'm concerned. I like Jamie Lee Curtis in general. I thought she should have been Best Actress for Halloween Ends, Susumi.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. You know, one thing I forgot to mention for Best Actress, the one that I wish that would have been there is Mia Goth.
Yeah. Hey, there you go.
Oh, yeah. Mia Goth, I thought, in both films, but particularly in the second film, I thought she was just looking awesome. Seriously.
She was amazing in Pearl.
Well,
absolutely,
like
which is one of my favorite films.
Pearl and X, you know, that's one of those things where, you know, it didn't get the awards attention that some people were hoping it would, and it doesn't matter because they're still great movies.
Yeah.
Sure.
Agreed. Agreed. And of course, you know, horror movies generally are looked down upon by the intelligentsia at the Oscars. So there you go. So now we're at Best Supporting Actor. And we've got Brendan Gleeson.
Let's not call them the intelligentsia. Let's call them the snobs, because people that are
snobs.
True intelligentsia know what the fuck's going on.
Okay, fair enough.
Sure.
Okay, so Best Supporting Actor, Brendan Gleeson, Judd for Banshees, Judd Hirsch for The Fabelmans, Brian Tyree Henry for Causeway, Barry Keoghan for Banshees of Inisherin, and Kay Yuquan for Everything Everywhere All at Once. So what do you think? Let's go with Noel.
I guess Brendan. I don't feel much about anyone. Kay Yuquan, I'm glad to see him. And he does fight choreography, not here, but in quite a few films. He was amazing. Physically, those two.
Yeah, I
toss-up.
Agree.
Yeah, Judd Hirsch.
And I would be
Judd
okay
Hirsch
with either.
Did the same thing. Judd Hirsch did the same thing he did in Ordinary People, like so many years ago. You know, he walks in, he's the warm Jewish funny guy, and he makes an impression, he's gone. I mean, what the heck?
Yep. So what do you think, Adam?
I've said for years we need a featured performer category, somebody that gets one or maybe two really big scenes, does a great memorable job, and, you know, that way we can have lead, supporting, and then featured.
So what do you think as far as the nominations for Best Supporting?
For me?
Adam? Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at the list, and I'm going to have to say this. I have seen everyone except Henry and Causeway, which I'll get to this weekend, hopefully. I think Kwan is going to win. I would love for Gleeson or Kwan to win. You know, I'm happy that Keoghan got nominated because it's a very unusual character and performance, and I wasn't sure that they'd nominate something that someone did like that. But hey, they did. But I might change my tune because I loved Henry in Atlanta. He's a tremendous actor. But right now, it's Gleeson and Kwan.
Yeah, I agree. I think we all agree on that. Okay, Best Director, Todd Field for Tar, The Daniels for Everything Everywhere, Martin McDonagh, The Banshees of Inisherin, Ruben Östlund for Triangle of Sadness, and Steven Spielberg for The Fabelmans. And you all know which one I'm not rooting for, so we'll leave it at that. Oh. Do you want to tell the people who I'm not rooting for? Come on.
I'm just guessing. No, I'm not guessing. I have the slightest idea. Who are you not rooting for?
No.
It's Spielberg.
Okay, talk to me. Absolutely. Absolutely. The man's a hack, as far as I'm concerned. With the exception of a couple films I do like. So Adam, who do you think out of those?
Well, out of those, I would have to give it to McDonagh or the Daniels. But the thing is I can think of two people that should have been nominated this year that weren't.
Okay, tell us.
One is Aronofsky for The Whale, because to take that play and make it into that movie is an achievement. But also Richard Linklater for Apollo 10 and a Half.
I agree with you with Linklater. I think that's a great film, and it has no representation in the Oscars. I think that is an absolute disaster. All right. For me, I agree with you. It's either Daniels or it's Martin McDonagh. How about you, Noel, out of those people?
Actually, I like Spielberg's directing in Fabelmans. I like his directing. This is probably his most personal, overtly personal. He's been personal all his life. But bringing in people that I wish were nominated instead, Park Chan-wook for Decision to Leave, that was amazing.
Oh, that's an amazing movie. I ripping on Vertigo.
And he pulled it off. He can actually flirt with comparison to Hitchcock's masterpiece and get away with it. I liked Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio. It's at least, I think, even more personal than Spielberg's Fablemans. And James Gray in Armageddon Time. And then, of course, there's Love Diaz. He has grip. I love grip. And that's
you know, you also add in Iñárritu for Bardo, but I know Bardo's a hot topic in some circles, but I actually fucking adored that movie.
Yeah,
I appreciated Bardo. I didn't like it, but I appreciate it. I respect it. Okay, foreign film, and I'm going to tell you right now, this is the biggest snub of all of them. Okay? Why isn't RRR in this list? I want to kill somebody over that. I love that movie. The movie was the most fun I've had watching the film last year. It was an absolute blast. 3 hours went by diarrhea, seriously. It was so quick. It was wonderful. And I love it to death, and it's not there. And what we have are five films I've not seen. All Quiet on the Western Front, Germany. Argentina, 1985. Close, that's from Belgium. EO, which is from Poland. And The Quiet Girl from Ireland. So I've not seen any of them, so I don't have a horse in the race. How about you, Noel?
Yeah, international film is a category that I've always had. That's probably one of my biggest problems with the Oscars. I mean, so what's foreign and what's... I mean, Quiet Girl, what are they speaking? Is Irish a foreign language? I mean, geez.
Yeah.
Why
yeah,
don't
I
they just have
that.
15 best pictures and then just throw in everything in like every other real film festival, like Cannes or Berlin or whatever. Throw all the foreign features in. I'll throw in, Decision to Leave, of course.
Right.
I think was terrific. And any of the two the Love Diaz's and any of the Filipino films I mentioned should be there.
Okay.
There.
How about you, Adam? What's your thoughts?
You know, I'm going to say that I actually do like this set of movies. Now, I haven't seen Close and I haven't seen EO, but what I have seen of them is enough to get me very interested in them. And we all know about Skolimowski's career, so, you know,
right.
I'm expecting some interesting stuff with EO. I think it's going to be All Quiet on the Western Front. And, you know, having not seen the other two, it is probably the best one of those three. But I really want to know where's Bardo? Just let me finish. Where's Bardo? Where is Decision to Leave? You know, this is a category that I've always said needs to be bigger. We need six or seven films here. I like Quiet Girl, but I didn't like Quiet Girl as much as I liked Bardo or as much as I liked Decision to Leave, especially Decision to Leave, which is in my top five of the year. It's a fantastic film. I did not have the reaction to RRR that you did. There were moments that I enjoyed, but sometime about, halfway through, maybe two-thirds of the way through the movie, I just decided I'd seen enough of it and turned it off. And I've never felt the inclination to go back to finish the film, and I don't do that very often, but it was just too much of the same thing for me.
And I can see that. I can see that. But to me, it was a blast of fresh air, and I loved it dearly.
Let me throw in something. What do you call that? RRR, I did find it a little exhausting after the first hour, but for a three-hour extravaganza, I much prefer it. It's more varied, more inventive than Avatar, hands down. That's pretty good. All Quiet on the Western Front. It's probably going to be the winner with the Ukraine thing going on. It'll be in everyone's mind. But let me throw in Irma Vep, the Sayers miniseries. I think that's a terrific foreign film. International feature, sure. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Leonore Will Never Die. It's a Filipino film. Leonore Will Never Die is like a meta something physical comedy drama, and it's made for even less money than Everything Everywhere All at Once. And it's as inventive, and it puts to shame both Everything Everywhere and Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness, if you want the multiverse Metacritic sort of thing. And it's available on Amazon.
Well, I'll definitely watch that then. Message that to me.
Yeah,
so I remember, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, best original screenplay. We only have four more to go through, so. Best original screenplay, Banshees, Everything Everywhere, The Fablemans, Tar, and Triangle of Sadness. May I just say that I'm not a fan of Ruben Östlund. I'm sorry, I'm not. And I have not seen it, so I can't really judge. But out of those, for me, it's between Banshees and Everything Everywhere, and I think Everything Everywhere will win because it's feel good. Banshees is so damn depressing. And, you know, but that's me. How about you, Adam, out of those five?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Out of these five, I want Banshees to win. I think Everything Everywhere All at Once may be, honestly, too odd. Out there to win screenplay. I think people are thinking of it more as a visual achievement. I don't think people really love the screenplay for Fablemans. It's co-written by Tony Kushner, who's one of our great playwrights. I honestly think the winner might end up being Todd Field for Tar, and that's going to be how they end up honoring that movie, because there's no way in hell they're giving it picture or director. And I honestly don't think that Kate Blanchett is the front runner. Some people think she is. But the thing is, where's the screenplay for Decision to Leave? Where
yeah,
is it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I loved Apollo 10 and a half, but where the fuck is Decision to Leave screenplay? That is Park Chan-wook's best film ever, in my opinion. Where is it?
It's not there. And this is the problem, I think, with the Oscars, that there's so much out there that they just go with, as I said at the beginning, it's promotion. It's having the money to promote, and it's having the friends to promote, and this is what we're stuck with. And it bothers me. And there's one particular category that I'll talk really long about. We're getting to that. Okay, best adapted screenplay, All Quiet, Glass Onion, Top Gun Maverick, Women Talking, and Living. And I'll tell you again, anyone that has the balls to adapt Akira deserves a fucking Oscar. And I hear it's absolutely fantastic film. So
that's Kazuo Ishiguro.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, he's one of our great writers. So yeah.
Yeah. Seriously. So that's who I'm rooting for. Other than that, I hope it's not Glass Onion. I liked it. I didn't think it was nearly as good as the original. Out of the others, I'd say All Quiet, and I'm just guessing.
You know, this is a tough category because I think we can take Glass Onion completely out of the equation, and Top Gun Maverick. I don't think those have a chance in hell. The other three do. The other three are all worthy. I've seen everything but Living. Of the ones I've seen of these, I'd actually give it to Women Talking. I'd let Sarah Polley have her Oscar because Women Talking, and she should have been up for director, by the way. But
yeah, she should have.
She did a movie that was an hour and 40 minutes of basically a circle of people sitting there talking, and yet you were never bored. She made it dynamic, both with dialogue and shot selection, the way she worked with the actors. It's an extraordinary film. Her work there needs to be recognized somewhere. If it has to be here, it has to be here. I'm not going to get into how pissed I am about some of the snubs this year regarding that movie, She Said, which was a phenomenal film that's being forgotten, unfortunately.
And I'm a big fan of Sarah Polley. I loved her.
Oh yeah, we've talked about that before. So yeah.
Yeah. So I would have no problem.
Count me in. Yeah,
okay.
I haven't seen Women Talking, but Sarah Polley, yeah. Based on her previous works, she's one of our great female directors.
She's only done four or five films so far, but my God, yeah.
Terrific work. I don't think I chimed in the original screenplay. Just real quick.
Okay.
Everything Everywhere, just for the rock scene, I think worth it. Banshees, McDonald's got the voice, but... I just don't warm to his voice, and that's it. Someone said, Park Chan-wook. I'll put in essays for Irma Vep, best writing, and any number for Filipino entries. Anyway,
talking about getting back to Sarah Polley, I fell in love with her the moment I saw her in Adventures of Baron Munchausen, and I've followed her ever since. That woman has had a real, real journey, and she's really made the best of it. And I give her thumbs up 100%. That woman is amazing. Seriously.
Stories we tell.
Okay, we're on. Absolutely.
Yeah, great film.
Mm-hmm. So best animated film we're on to. We got Del Toro's Pinocchio, Marcel the Shell, Puss in Boots, The Last Wish, The Sea Beast, and Turning Red, and where the fuck is Apollo 10 and a half?
I agree with you there.
Okay, hold on, I'm not done. And where the fuck is Mad God?
Yeah.
Seriously.
We both know the Academy was never going to touch that shit.
I don't care. It is the most outrageous thing I've seen. It took 30 years. That man dedicated his fucking life to it. It deserves a nomination, even if they're not going to vote for it. I don't care. out of those, I did not like Pinocchio. And the reason I didn't like Pinocchio, I think it's absolutely visually stunning, and it will win. Maybe Marcel the Shell might win too. But to me, it was just recycling everything from Pan's Labyrinth and The Devil's Backbone. And we know you're anti-fascist, Del Toro. We get it. You've hit us over the head way too many fucking times. That's my thought on that. So, all right, guys, have at it. What do you think of these particular films? And I don't even know Turning Red, Sea Beast, and Puss in Boots. I didn't even know there was a Puss in Boots out there again. Seriously. I think this is one of the worst that I've seen as far as categories. Okay, go ahead,
guys. I'm going to say this. I have not seen Marcel the Shell. I did see the Sea Beast. It's got some nice visuals, but I don't see why it should be up for best animated film. Turning Red, I enjoyed. I think it's got some really good stuff in it. Puss in Boots actually, honestly, surprised me. It's really got some decent character work in it, believe it or not.
Wow.
And I did like Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio. Once again, it's just one of these categories where my favorite animated film of the year did not get in. And I think it's probably going to be Pinocchio or Marcel. I really do think that's going to happen. Although, who knows, we could get one of those ones where people vote here, people vote there, and a third sneaks in. Like, shit, I hate to say it, but we could get people caught between Pinocchio and Marcel, and then either Puss in Boots or Turning Red sneaks in. This is a weird category this year.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Pinocchio I do like a lot. I think it's subversive even of the Disney version, which I liked. And the Quixote, the original, I think it subverts many of the expectations there. But, there's Mad God, which you guys mentioned, which I think is like hard to be a god, except animated. It's amazing.
Yes.
And then there's there's Inuyo by Masaki Yuasa. Great Japanese animated filmmaker, has been doing great work all these years, better in TV, but his films are, he's a much underrated. I think he's better than the one everyone likes, that Makoto Shinkai, a lot less sentimental.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I have a dog in the animated category, and I think it should also be folded in with the best picture. I mean, what's difference between animated and live action and foreign and English, it's ridiculous. Anyway, that's my piece.
Yeah. Okay, we're going down now. We're skipping all the technical stuff. And we're going down to the score, to the musical score. And I'll tell you who we've got. And basically, I've only seen two of these films. Volker Bethermann for All Quiet on the Western Front, Carter Burwell for The Banshees of Inisherin, Justin Hurwitz for Babylon, Sun Lux for Everything Everywhere All at Once, and John Williams for The Fableman. And if John Williams wins, I'm just, as a general rule, I will shoot myself. Okay? But for me, out of those, and also because I've always loved his work, I got to go with Carter Burwell.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll go with you, Adam. Out of those musical scores, what do you think?
I would go with either Burwell or Hurwitz. I actually liked Babylon more than most.
I want to see that, by the way. I have not seen that. That's on my list to see. I definitely want to see Babylon.
Well, I'm going
to
say this. If you've got Paramount Plus, it's coming, I believe.
I don't.
First or the second. You might be able to get a free trial. I think they do free trials. It's worth looking at. It's 3 hours and 10 minutes, I think, or 3 hours and 8 minutes of insanity. Mileage will vary. It may be right up your alley. It may piss you off. I don't know with you, Carl, on this one.
Okay. That's cool. But it's something I'm interested in. I always like films that divide the critics, and I always want to see which side I'm on.
I will say this about that movie in general. I have some third act problems, but I think it fucking nails. I think the final scene in the film, the last, the coda to the movie, really, really nails everything about the film, pulls it all together, and it works for me.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying
about that. As far as the musical score, what do you think? Noel, any thoughts on this?
I can't remember most of them. Let me tell you, John Williams, there should be a court order to keep him away from Spielberg. They bring out the worst in each other. He's a Mickey Mouse of the worst kind.
Yeah. Spielberg.
He should stop working with Spielberg for the rest of their lives.
Yeah,
well, anyway, but Babylon, I liked it a lot. It's just not how silent filmmaking was done those days, not in the 20s, but I guess that's a minor criticism. I prefer Bardo if you want to go like a whole hog for 3 hours and go crazy. Sure, Bardo over Babylon, mm-hmm. but I like Babylon. And that's it.
Okay, well, for me, John Williams did do one of my favorite movies and the score to it, which I love, but it was working with Altman, not Spielberg.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's The Long Goodbye. You know, I think
or
Spielberg is too bombastic.
Yeah, or De Palma, The Fury.
Yeah.
There you go.
Right. That's a good one, too. Okay, so we're not even going to talk about Best Original Song, but at least they have Not Too from RRR and that better win or else I'm going to be really pissed. Okay? All right. This is my major, major bitch about the Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the best documentary feature.
Mm-hmm.
This particular group of people who vote on this are the most insular, most, gang of people I've ever seen in my life. And to me, I've not seen any of these. I'll probably see them sooner or later. I don't know any of them. We've got All That Breathes, All the Beauty and the Bloodshed, Fire of Love, A House Made of Splinters, and The Bounty. And I hear The Bounty is good, okay? So, and I've heard a couple people say about that. But to me, two of the best documentary features of this year and one of last year weren't even considered. The two this year is Are You Black Enough?, which is a great documentary mm-hmm. on blaxploitation and a very personal one. But my favorite documentary of the year was Senior, which absolutely just broke me up into little pieces. And, of course, that's about Robert Downey Sr. and Robert Downey Jr. and their relationship as they start to make this documentary. And then Parkinson's hits Senior, and you see him devolve because of the over the period of time they shot it was 3 years, and it's heartbreaking. And how that is not in the documentary feature, I will never know. And they didn't even fucking put in Hoop Dreams back in the day.
Of course,
I don't know what it is about these people, but they do not get it. And last year, the guy who did who was in Crocodile Dundee, the Aborigine guy. A documentary on him, and that was absolutely fantastic. And again, you saw him get ill and die, and so on and so forth. And that was wonderful too. But that came out in 2021. On the festival circuit, so it wasn't up for this year, even though it was released in January, I think, on the January of 2022.
David Goupil-Lil.
Yes, my name is Goupil-Lil. Thank you.
Goupil-Lil. Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard of that.
And they're all great, great documentaries, and none of them here. It just pisses me off beyond all belief. And I'm not the only one. Stephen Ronquillo, my former partner, and I always bitch about this particular group of films on the Oscars, that they are so out of touch. So anyway, yeah. You guys got anything to say about that or any of the documentaries that
well,
I mentioned?
Well, I'm only going to say this before we go, and then I want to then we're supposed to get going, but I will say this. I haven't seen All the Breeze or All the Beauty and the Bloodshed, which I understand are supposed to be terrific. I did not care for Fire of Love. House Made of Splinters is what it is. Navalny was interesting. Of these, I'd probably give it to Navalny, the ones that I've seen, but I can think of a bunch of ones that I have seen that are not up here. Bad Axe, The Janes.
The Janes was great. I saw that. That was fantastic.
And the thing is, I thought when I saw The Janes that I'd just seen the Oscar winner because I was thinking, okay, this is Hollywood. They're going to want to have something that's really political and social and of the moment, and this is about abortion, and Roe versus Wade just got overturned and all that. And I'm thinking, how are they going to pass this by? And yet they did. Why did they do that? Because as much as they like to talk and virtue signal, they're also pussies.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Cowards. And I'm not going to say more, but yeah.
Okay. Noel, you have anything to say about this?
No, documentary is a long-neglected category, and there was a golden age back there. Hoop Dreams and Crumb seems to have passed, or I wish that it had more attention, it had more love.
Yeah, agreed. So anyway, one final thing around the table here. We'll start with you, Noel. If there's a snub that you totally think is the worst thing in the world that the Oscars left out, what snub would that be?
Oh, geez, you got another hour?
No, just pick one. Pick one.
Yeah, I mean, like, what, this year in the entire history? I just go
Not
back
this year.
To the Oscars,
this
a freaking
this
joke.
Year.
This year? I guess Decision to Leave is a huge, huge hit. I mean, I know that I can't take the Oscars seriously, but it confirms everything I suspect about the Oscars. There's a new Hirokazu Koreeda coming out this year and in 2022, and where's that?
Yeah, where's The Broker? Where's The Broker?
Yeah,
but,
there
you know,
go.
The thing is, if you hadn't mentioned Decision to Leave, I would have. But since you did, I'll just restate, where is The Whale? I know people are having trouble with it, but folks, watch it and understand it's a film about empathy. It's a film about the need for empathy. And I really do think that if you have trouble with empathy, you're going to have have real fucking trouble with this movie.
Okay, for me, I think the biggest snub, other than the documentaries, which I just mentioned, would have to be Mia Goth.
Yep.
She was absolutely fantastic in Pearl. She was amazing in that film, and she was really, really good in X, too. I liked Pearl better than I liked X. I think they're both really good films, though. But yeah, Mia Goth for me. And any last words just about the Oscars or this year's Oscars or just like, you know, give it a raspberry, whatever you want to do.
Nope.
Well, lots of people say that was definitely a snub too, was Jordan Peele's Nope, but I disagree with that. Okay,
sure, that's a good one.
So, thank you. So, right now we're going to do a quick housekeeping, and tomorrow you've got a particular show coming on the Cathode Ray Mission. Adam, why don't you tell us about that?
Yes, tomorrow I will be joined by Aaron White and Hugh Kenneth David as we discuss the landmark crime show, Homicide: Life on the Street. That is going to be tomorrow, Friday, January 27th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I've been having this one scheduled and readied and off and on since the show began. So, you know, along with Kurosawa, this is the longest gestating idea that, well, there may be one more, but this is one of three very long gestating ideas. I'm really excited to finally get a chance to do this.
Good. Good. And we're looking forward to it, too. I'll be listening. And then on Sunday, we got Roxas Town Radio with TC, and he's doing a retrospective called The Day the Music Died, which, of course, is referenced in American Pie. So I'll be doing songs from the Big Bopper and Richie Valens and Buddy Holly, but also from other music artists that have died either by suicide or by drug abuse or plane crashes or all that stuff. It's going to be a wonderful music program, but it's going to be depressing as hell. And that's going to be on Sunday. And we have some things that aren't set for next week yet, but I will tell you that on Monday, Vicki will be back with the Kaleidoscope, and she'll be talking about The Last of Us and various other TV programs that are out that are science fiction and fantasy. And we're also looking for a co-host, a regular co-host for her. So we're working on that, and we'll have that on Monday. And the rest of the week is still open, but we'll be doing some stuff. I know that we've got commentary watch for Rachel coming in. We've got a commentary watch for John Killian's coming in, and we're going to do a bunch of the films of the directors of The Endless. We're going to do that as the series. But we'll be busy, and we'll have stuff, and certainly by Sunday we'll have the week, this coming week, upcoming week, all set. So that's what I got. I want to thank Adam very much for joining us. And Noel, you are always welcome. If you ever want to talk about anything, just message me and we'll put you on, my friend. Seriously. Love to have you
thank
here.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
And
thank
I think
you.
With that, oh, you're welcome, Noel. And with that, I think it's about time we say good night. So let's say good night, people.
Bye.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night, John boy.
Yep. Okay.
All right. Good night, people.